Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a calm conversation about something hopefully somewhat mundane for you. I'm Marco Timpano, and joining me is...
me, Amanda Barker.
Amanda, welcome to the Insomnia Project. I want to start by thanking all our listeners, of which we have many all over the world, who listen to this podcast to help them with their need for sleep or for calming them down or just being company for them.
For calm, rather than calming them down, because we all know that's a way to escalate anybody.
Sure.
I think we all have a need, a yearning for calm, calming conversation, comforting conversation.
Exactly.
Tranquility in what we digest, whether it be listening, reading, or so on. Watching.
Right. We are going to be going to a cranberry bog plunge at the end of next month.
Wow, I didn't realize that was coming up in this one today.
I just booked the tickets for it, so I'm kind of excited about it. Yeah, so we will put pictures of us diving in a cranberry bog, which is a very fall thing to do,
I guess. I'm not sure if we're diving in. I think we wade in.
We wade in, yes.
Yeah, I don't think we do a head first. You know,
it might be a little too cool for that in October, but stay tuned for that episode. But right now, we were in a few queues today, and if you don't know the word queue for lineup, I'll say what we were in a few lineups today.
Yeah, British, it's a British term, to queue.
Yeah, I love that term.
Yeah, I hadn't heard it ever until I was pretty old, I think. There's the sound of the breeze outside.
Yeah,
I don't know if people can hear that.
But it's a bit of rain. Mm-hmm. We're not in our studio today, so you might hear some outdoor sounds.
Yeah.
But we started the day by going to a drive-thru for coffee.
And that's true.
It was a very positive experience because, A, I had a little...
you had a freebie.
I had a freebie. So, you know, when you collect enough stickers, so you've had enough coffees that every time you get a coffee... you get a stamp or a sticker, and you apply it to a card.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as the listeners know, I love libraries, and I took out a book from the library, and inside that book, a person had left a full card of stickered coffees, and so I could use it for a free coffee.
A punch card, if you will.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, you buy eight, and you get the ninth free, or whatever it was. And at this particular establishment, they honor those, and they every coffee you get a little sticker on the back.
I want to thank the person who left their bookmark and sent me a free coffee via the
library. I
felt
badly for them, but maybe it was an intentional moment of paying something forward.
I was grateful to them. The funny thing is, if it was in a, you know, New Age kind of book or a self-help book, I would have been, oh, that's so great. But I don't think it was. I think it was in a podcast.
Probably it was a mistake on their end.
Sure.
They dumped it in the slot and went, oh, no. But, you know, we definitely needed it today and appreciated that little gift from whoever.
Certainly.
So, anonymous person, thank you so much.
Now, let me ask you this, Amanda. What makes a drive-through lineup good?
A fast food drive-through lineup?
Or whatever. You know, when you get in your car and you're in a lineup. Mm-hmm. A drive-through. What makes it a positive experience?
I'm just trying to think of other drive-throughs that exist that are not for fast food or for coffees.
The only one I can think of is self-banking drive-thrus. Oh, yeah. That's the only other one, but that doesn't...
Do they still do that? I guess they do, but remember, I remember being a kid and always being in that lineup with my mom and driving through, and then that capsule that would get sucked into the ground. Do you remember
No,
that?
No, I don't remember. I remember you telling me about this, but I've never...
Oh, you never had them?
No.
Okay, well, in New England, where I grew up, it was pretty exciting, actually, because you would talk to somebody through a glass window. You'd see them in the glass window.
A teller,
okay. Yeah. But there was two at a time, so there would be two going at the same time, so there'd be two different tellers, so you'd kind of have to make eye contact with the one. And you would tell them what you needed, if you needed to cash checks or cash or whatever. And they would say, okay. And then you put all your bank, my mom would put her bank book, because people used to have bank books.
I remember bank books.
Yeah.
They were like little passports, almost.
She still has hers, and she still uses hers.
Oh, can you still use a bank
book?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, she writes down everything that she takes out.
But I remember bank books like this. They were like little passports.
Yeah.
And you would bring it to the teller.
Yeah.
And they would stamp whatever transaction you did.
Yeah, so you'd know exactly what was coming in and exactly what was going out. I mean, similar to online. But anyway, I looked forward to that drive-through. I loved going to the bank because it was magic to me. You would get this capsule, this plastic see-through capsule, and you'd put your bank book in or your checks. My mom's work in particular, she would deal with a lot of people writing her personal checks. So
okay.
She would cash those. And she would put it all in and wait for it. And then it would come back and you'd get the cash back and your bank book back. It was true magic how they did it.
Was the capsule like the ones you sometimes see in stores where you put it into a slot and it got sucked in?
It got sucked in. But what do you mean in stores?
You see it. Okay, so I sometimes see it in big box stores. They'll have it when the teller has a lot of cash in their till.
Oh.
The manager will come over and put some of
What's that called? Skim.
Oh, is that what it's called?
It's called skimming.
Oh, I didn't... Oh, okay.
You have to skim your till every hour.
Okay.
Did you never work in one of those jobs where you had to skim the till?
Never had to skim the
till. So I only ever had to do that when I started working. It was my first job in the big city. I worked at a video store.
Which they don't really exist anymore.
No, they don't. I was 24, I think, and might have even been 25. I remember feeling a little bashful because I had had my degree and
sure.
I had a lot of cool jobs and in my mind at that age and traveled the world to some degree, not completely, obviously, but I could not. I thought I was going to be an actress, so I thought that meant I'd be a waitress.
Right.
That was what they tell you. And so I moved to the big city with my homemade headshots and my cobbled together resume and handed them out. And then I went around trying to get a waitering gig, and what no one tells you is that it's really hard to get a waitering gig in a big city because there are professional waiters.
Sure.
It was harder to get that than an acting gig, truthfully, for me. I didn't have the qualifications. So anyway, I couldn't get a job. So I finally... I was like, I don't know who anywhere. I need to make rent. So I got a job at a video store. So that was the first time I ever really had to work a till.
Right.
I'd never worked at a grocery store or even a fast food place. So I was taught by this really clever 16-year-old gal, Stephanie, that I worked with. And she looked at me crazily like, you don't know how to skim a till? And you had to take out, because you always wanted a float of $50
okay.
in the cash. So anytime you did a lot of business, you would take that out. You would write how much you're taking out. And you always needed to have another person there. So obviously you weren't...
skimming yourself.
Yeah.
Sure.
Pocketing the cash. And for someone to deal with the customers. And you'd put it in a big envelope and write how much you took and what time. And so that's what that's called, the skimming.
I want to dive into this retail experience you had at a video store, which they don't really exist anymore.
Yeah.
What were the most popular films on video when you worked there, to the best of your recollection?
So the year would have been...
don't tell the year. Tell the thing and see if I can guess the year.
Okay. The first 3 or 4 seasons of Sex and the City were extremely popular rentals.
Sure.
It's so funny. One of the... ones I remember was this movie about marijuana, Reefer Madness.
Oh, of course, yes.
I don't think I ever saw it, but
it's a cult classic.
I remember seeing it always on the shelf because, you know, back then, for people who don't remember video stores, because I have to remember there are people who don't remember stores. When a Blockbuster movie came out, it would take easily, you would devote an entire section to that movie. So I think Armageddon was a big one.
Okay. Ben Affleck, oh, twice.
Pearl Harbor. We just specialized in Ben Affleck movies.
So this was early 90s, 92, 93?
No.
Oh.
So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was Armageddon 2.
Okay.
Pearl Harbor 2? I don't remember. No, I'm joking. But no, it was the early 2000s.
Oh, of course, Sex and the City. I don't know why I'm thinking early 90s.
But I don't really remember. Those are just, I remember like Blockbuster movies. They all seem the same to me.
Sure.
So they would take up, you would get 50 to 80 copies of any given movie.
Oh, when it first was
released. Yeah, because it's such a demand. Oh, sure. This movie's out on video. Everybody would run to the video store to go get it. And so, you know, you would have probably 50 placeholders and maybe 80 copies. So you'd put two or three of... I managed to be in the video store when DVDs were the thing.
Okay.
Because then we all remember the beginning of them with VHS. But this was a DVD. And we did have VHS. We did have still VHS rentals, but they were few and far between because we were with the times.
Sure.
So we had DVD rentals. And we were in a very interesting part of the city. So we had some interesting specialized markets. We were in a real pocket of LGBTQIA presence. And so we had a lot of those types of movies.
Okay.
Maybe more than, say, a small town would. And they were really popular. And we had regulars. Actually, one of the cool things about working there... And I was there about a year.
This is some inside dirt to a industry that doesn't really exist anymore,
it's
folks.
True. When the film festival would happen and or when somebody famous was shooting a movie, you'd actually get some pretty big names.
Would come through to
rent. Yeah, because they would... Where else are they going to get a movie?
Right.
So they'd come in because they'd want to see something by a director that they were going to work with. They'd come in just because they were shooting, you know, so many series, or they were just on set so much that their only time to watch a movie would be to rent a VCR, which we did do, or a DVD player, which we did do, bring it to their hotel room,
plug it in,
and they would watch, they would rent a pile of movies. So wow. I remember, what's her name? Amanda, she was in Pulp Fiction.
Christopher Plummer's
Amanda
Plummer.
Yes. Yeah. She actually came in a lot. And the problem was a lot of the celebrities, their address would be a hotel.
Right.
So you'd have to plug in their address and it would come up as the Sutton Place Hotel kind of thing. We'd also get people who were like coming through town on tours. So like stand-ups would come in and try to rent movies because you just have to live a life on the road some professions. So that was an interesting part of the journey. I can only order things. And now tell me if you're like this. If it was all alphabetical for the most part.
Okay. Wasn't it sectioned by genre? So comedies would be in one
area. It was sectioned by genre in that, if you can imagine a horseshoe.
Yes.
Because the front was all windows. So imagine a horseshoe, and that was most of them. The outer ring of the horseshoe was all the new releases.
Oh, I didn't know that that's how it functioned.
Yeah. Okay. So that was done alphabetically, but, you know... Sex and the City just lived there, or really popular rentals.
I see. Okay.
So Sex and the City, and that's the first series I think I rented there, and I remember renting the whole thing and watching it in a weekend. Up to that point, it was about halfway through at that point. That was all the outer edge.
Right.
And then the columns in the middle, all the rows in the middle, what are they called? Like in a grocery store? Aisles.
Sure.
Those were one at a time. So that there would be a section for kids.
I see.
LGBTQIA for us, although back then it would have just been called gay, I think. Mm-hmm. Movies is what we called it, or gay content. There was a section for Canadian
cool
movies in that particular store. So, and there'd be one copy of those
films. Yeah.
But anyway, so having to bring the films back, you'd have it on a little cart and you'd have to wheel the cart. I would take forever because I'm not great with, if something is K, I have to go through the whole, I have to sing the alphabet in my head till I get to K.
Wow.
To know where it lives.
Okay.
On the shelf. I know it's in the middle somewhere, sure. Probably the upper middle, but I don't know the two letters next to it until... I would say L and M, but is that right?
J and L is.
Oh, L, I got it. Okay. Yeah, but I don't know it. Like some people would really know. Like you knew that immediately. Right. I have to sing the whole alphabet song to get there. I don't know why that is. And I don't know. I know there must be other people like me. I just assumed everybody was like that. So it would take me a long time because sure. I'd be like, I don't know where R goes. You know, it goes somewhere in this world, but I don't know exactly.
Q and S, yeah.
Okay.
So let me ask you this. Mm. Would you get irritated when people didn't rewind the VHS tape? Because I know when I first started renting,
yeah.
We would get charged if it wasn't rewound.
We didn't. I think we told people we would. I do have a memory of opening them up and checking them to see if they had been rewound. I would probably, I think we would just say, next time, please be sure to rewind. But we had a rewinder under the counter. So you'd throw it in and just hit rewind and it would go really fast.
Right.
And so you could do it yourself because it was taboo to put an unrewound or half-watched video on the shelf. Isn't that funny?
It is very funny. You know, another industry that's sort of disappearing, if not almost completely disappeared, is the travel agency.
I know, but they do still exist.
They do still exist. But I remember when you were planning a trip,
yeah.
You would go and sit with a travel agent
yeah.
who would click a clack on their computer and then tell you what options you had, the times
right.
and whatnot. Then they would print you out a physical ticket that was a big rectangle ticket that had all the codes and whatnot printed on it with your name for your travel.
So there was a really well-known, I mean, travel agencies tend to be chains, right? Or like franchises.
Some of them. And then some you have yeah. independent operators. Yeah.
So there was a well-known, I think it still exists, chain. I don't know if you want me to say the name or not. But
we don't need to.
Anyways, it claimed that it wasn't quite a travel agency, that it was something more user friendly.
Okay.
But it's essentially that's what it was. And they kept advertising for people. I applied there twice.
Okay.
No, I applied there once and I had a great interview and got not one but two rejection letters.
Okay.
2 weeks apart.
So they really didn't
didn't want me. That's why I ended up at the video store.
Okay.
And I thought, I can tell them about this. I've traveled here and there. And sure. I have all these computer skills. Nope, they didn't need me. But
and what's funny for our listeners is, I have to say this about Amanda. When it comes to booking travel that we need to do, whether it's for our work, which we travel quite a great deal for work, or mm-hmm. for our own personal pleasure, you are so adept and so great at using the online platforms to pick the best flight, the best train travel, and the best route we
could
take.
I'm pretty great at it. I mean, I delight in it.
Yeah, you do.
I love it. A few times I've gone with a group of friends to a place, and I will say, if you tell me what it is you want, and even more importantly, what you don't want, I will present you with options.
Right.
I've done that with cities and countries. What do you want? What do you, you know, resorts. Okay, we're going to go to the Caribbean, but do you care about this? Do you care about that? Great. With that criteria, I present to you these three options.
Right.
You know, I absolutely love doing it. I know. It was a real missed opportunity, but hey, I got all that DVD organizing experience that, you know, I get to use right now in talking about it.
Sure. Sure. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Did you sell any confectionery or any...
We did. We sold gummies and popcorn.
Of course.
Bags of, like, cellophane kind of bags of popcorn that we would eat when we were really hungry. We sold, actually, the number one thing we sold was old copies.
Oh, of course.
Previously viewed copies of tapes and DVDs.
Of course, because if you're getting 50 copies of a blockbuster that just comes out, what happens 4 months later when it's
That's
no
just
longer...
it. And 4 months is probably about what it was, too. Okay. After about 4 months, you'd pare it down. And instead of giving them 8 rows in a chunk, you'd give them... You'd get 4, you know, you'd probably have it down to 10 copies. And okay. then after about a year or two, you'd really only need 2 copies of whatever that was, you know. So the rest of them would go into a bin, and every month we would mark them down and sell them off.
Sure.
And people would buy them. And some people really loved to collect movies. I'm not one to rewatch a movie, or how do you feel about that?
Neither am I, really.
Yeah, neither one of us are.
There's a couple of movies, if they're on television, you and I will watch it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be like, oh, yeah. Moonstruck is on, let's watch it.
It's almost like a roulette wheel or a sampler on TV these
sure.
days. Not a lot of people even have...
That's a car driving by, in case you're wondering.
Not a lot of people have cable. And we haven't quite, you know, for whatever reason, we've made the choice to continue with it. Although we do talk about, you know, just going to all our streaming platforms.
Right.
Of course, we've just increased those, so we probably should make a choice. But yeah, if something is on TV, like today, G.I. Jane was on TV, I would never make an effort to go watch G.I. Jane.
Sure.
I would never dial it up. I would... But it was on, so I watched, you know, a few scenes of it.
Of course.
So yeah, we would sell previously viewed copies, and it was just a way of selling off inventory.
Did you ever find a gem while you were working there? A movie you may never have viewed and you took home one night and you were like, this is such a special movie.
Yeah, I did actually. I watched a lot. I tried really hard. You know, as I said, I was just starting out as an actor. I didn't have an agent, didn't have anything, and didn't know anybody.
Sure.
So I tried to educate myself on who was working in Toronto, what films were being made in Toronto. And at that time, I tried to rent a lot of any Canadian films I could. And so there was one movie called Way Downtown that I really loved. I just thought
Never
it was
heard of it.
Really funny.
Okay.
It had... I can't even think. Don McKellar.
Okay.
In it. And I can't remember anyone else.
Sure.
Unfortunately. And I don't know if I bought the previously viewed copy or what, but I remember I showed it to my brother. So maybe he was visiting me. I don't remember. Or maybe I brought it home and showed it to him. And to New Brunswick, that is. He loved it so much that he always talked about it. And years later said he tried to find a copy of it, this movie, Way Downtown.
Right.
And the concept is 3 people who live downtown. I thought it was Toronto, but recently someone told me, no, it was Calgary. So I'd have to look that up. But anyway, they live in a Canadian city in the middle of the winter. They live in condos and they all work in a building that you can access through the tunnels. Through the
oh,
downtown.
Yes, of course. Okay.
So they realize that actually there's a grocery store down there too. So they actually have no real reason to go into the outside world other than just wanting to. Like everything they could need, more or less.
Right. Was indoors.
Was indoors. The gym, work, home, food. And so they make a bet with them, with the three, among the three of them, that whoever... last the longest without going outside wins. I don't remember what they went.
Sure.
And so at first it's all very easy, but then as the weeks go by, they're trying to find ways to cheat. Like they'll walk by a revolving door just to try to breathe some of the outside air.
I see.
So anyway, it was a clever movie. I don't remember much else about how it ends, but yeah. But so that was my undiscovered gem of that time.
Fantastic.
I only worked there like 8 months, maybe.
Right. Well, we're winding down. Speaking of winding.
We didn't realize we'd be talking about DVDs today.
No, but please rewind this episode if you've gotten to the end and you haven't fallen asleep. I do want to say something. We often talk about Canadian things on this podcast. We're, of course, unabashedly Canadian. Mm-hmm. But I want to thank our listeners who are international listeners. Mm-hmm. We have a ton in Europe. We have so many in the U.S. Mm-hmm. who listen to our podcast. And they must just think, what do they do in that country? And then they just follow along with us when we go down these little maple leaf paths, shall we say.
Well, if anyone is still awake and wants to locate where that video store once stood, it was at the corner of Yonge and Wellesley,
Yonge and Wellesley in Toronto.
It's a pretty well-known intersection.
I think there's a Starbucks there now.
There is. Right? There was back then. It's still there. So that's where I spent, and I lived really like 3 minutes walk from it. So that was my first year in Toronto, my introduction.
Didn't the Starbucks take over?
No.
What's in its place?
A candy store.
Oh, of all things.
It's been a few things, but I think last I checked, it was a candy store. Yeah. All it's right. not a video store anymore.
It's a candy store. What's your favorite candy before we leave?
Oh, gosh. Candy? I don't know. Runtz was the first thing that came to my mind. Okay. I think that might be Canadian too, the name Runtz.
Runtz.
The little sugary. I was just thinking of like little sugary bananas. Oh, I love. Can I name a brand?
Of course.
I love a bag of mixed Jelly Belly jelly beans.
Okay.
That's a great. How about you?
Anything toffee.
Oh,
well, I love toffee.
Yeah. See, I wasn't sure if we were just talking candy. I mean, if you get into the chocolate world, that's a whole other.
This is the toffee world. It's neither chocolate nor candy. So
there's a toffee store.
Listen, you know, I have a lot of British sensibilities. Mm-hmm. And so for me, toffee would be number one. So there you go. But anyways, we've reached the end of the Insomnia Project. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for joining us. And if you have any suggestions of episodes you want to hear us talk about, feel free to let us know on our Instagram, our Twitter, or on our Facebook page.
Be kind, please rewind.